It's been 10 years, man. Why are we still talking about Russell Wilson leaving NC State to go to Wisconsin?
I think there's one simple answer here, and it's the only simple answer. And that is, I don't believe the story's been told completely or accurately. And given my background at the News and Observer and when I covered NC State and your background here at 99.9 The Fan, I think we're the right people who have the right historical perspective and the right connections to have the people tell the story in such a way that it hasn't been told in the previous 10 years. I also think every time something happens with Russell Wilson, this comes up, right? What happened with Russell Wilson at NC State? And I believe we are in a position uniquely to provide a definitive answer. So the next time people want to ask the question, like when Russell Wilson gives a graduation speech, what really happened? Well, this is our chance to say, this is what happened.
Wilson play action fake, drop it, goes a post downfield, it is caught on speed. Nobody is going to catch Owen Spencer. Touchdown, North Carolina State.
The story of Russell Wilson's exit from NC State 10 years ago to Wisconsin and then NFL stardom has been told hundreds of times. But there have always been gaps and questions and inaccuracies.
It's been 10 years. Can it possibly be 10 years?
I mean, I still remember it. I'm glad you're doing this podcast because I always thought, like, I don't know if it's quite worthy of a 30 for 30, but it's worthy of some sort of mini-series or segment because I mean, there's a lot to it.
With insight from the people who knew Russell Wilson and Tom O'Brien the best, 99.9 The Fan's Joe Giglio and Joe Ovius set the record straight about Wilson's time and departure from NC State in Never Failed, the Russell Wilson Story Podcast, presented by Copiers Plus. Go beyond the printed page.
I mean, it was literally, Russell was on campus maybe a month or two before he was voted a team captain. Like, he literally has that kind of aura, man. Like, he was very, very mature for his age, dude. It's like the dude was already a 30-year-old adult when we were 18, 19, 20 years old.
Never Failed, the Russell Wilson Story Podcast.
Brought to you by Copiers Plus. If you don't know how much printing expenses are costing your business, you're probably spending too much. Gain clarity with a free assessment from Copiers Plus. Book yours today at copiers-plus.com.
There were times when I covered NC State for the paper where I was able to talk freely with Tom O'Brien without a camera or a microphone around. There was one in particular I'll never forget. We were at the Raleigh Times, and this has been about 5 days after NC State was just routed by Cincinnati in a national Thursday night spotlight game. ESPN was just crushing O'Brien because over that summer, he chose to go with Mike Glennon at quarterback instead of bringing Russell Wilson back for another college season. Wilson decided to transfer to Wisconsin, and the Badgers were off to a 4-0 start and were in the top five of the country. Wilson was really nothing short of spectacular. He was the story in college football. NC State, meanwhile, they got off to a slow start. They were just 2-2 after the 44-14 loss to Cincinnati. I remember I told O'Brien, you're getting crushed by this Wilson story. Why don't you just come out and explain that Mike Glennon had 2 years of eligibility left and Russell only had one? You went with the math. Tom's answer was not what I expected, but it's one I'll always remember. This is what he said. Russell Wilson has never failed at anything in his life. When he left to play baseball for the Rockies, I thought he would end up in the major leagues and never play football again. Michael graduated in 3 years and would have transferred if I had kept the door open for Russell to return. Then Russell could have been gone, Michael would have been gone, and I would have been left with Tyler Brocious at quarterback. That's the quote from Tom O'Brien. And here's the one to remember. Russell Wilson has never failed at anything. That's true. Given the second chance and the bigger stage at Wisconsin, Wilson decided to leave baseball behind and he went into the NFL. In the history of the ACC, which goes back to 1953, Wilson's the only quarterback with a Super Bowl title. So how did Tom O'Brien let Russell Wilson walk out the door? Or did he? It depends on who you ask. We could not work out the schedule with Wilson to get his insights for this podcast. O'Brien, stubborn until the end, wasn't willing to be interviewed for it. We do have old clips from both, And now that Wilson has committed to give the commencement speech at NC State later this month, maybe we'll get some new answers from him. We did talk to Wilson's former teammates and coaches, and over the next 6 episodes, we will share those insights with you. 10 years later, there's still 2 sides to this story. There are some who think it was a terrible decision.
I might be the biggest NC State fan there is, and I've been an NC State fan since I was probably 5 years old, and the 2 biggest things that's always bothered me about as long as I've loved this university is how we treated Valvano on the way out the door and the Russell Wilson thing.
And there are others. Well, there are others who can understand why a Marine is such a stickler for commitment.
The crazy part about some of the most high-profile athletes that you cover or watch on television is that you don't really know a lot about them. They present what they want to present to you. So I guess to understand where Russell Wilson is today, you kind of have to understand where that dude came from, right?
Yeah, and I think with Russell specifically, out of high school, Joe, not only did he go to a small high school in Richmond, but he was overlooked, under-recruited, under-ranked. He was a 3-star prospect. If you believe the 247 database, 1,102 in the class. Now, with the benefit of history, do we really think there were 1,100 players better than Russell Wilson in his high school recruiting class? Obviously not. But that's where the chip on his shoulder started. He was a successful high school quarterback. He won a state championship, but it was in a lower-level private league in Richmond, in Virginia, which is not thought of as a football hotbed. He gets to NC State. He was recruited by one coach, Chuck Amato. He wasn't recruited by Tom O'Brien. There was a coaching change. So he has to start and prove himself all over again with a new coach in college. There's that element. There's also the element, Joe, he really believed that he could be another Bo Jackson, another Deion Sanders. It wasn't just about football to him. It was about playing both football and baseball. It was about doing something that was extraordinary. It was about a promise and a fulfilling a dream that his dad had for him. His dad, who played football at Dartmouth and raised him and his brother Harrison to play both football and baseball. Russell Wilson, when he was a kid, Joe, he would run routes. His dad would have him and his brother out on a field to run routes in the morning before they went to school. Okay? He would make Russell, after these sessions, do practice interviews with the media to prepare him for when he would become this superstar. So it's something that was ingrained in him from the very beginning of his life. And the idea that he was going to do both was his singular focus, his drive. The one thing you can always say about Russell Wilson that you and I both know from covering him when he was at NC State, he has always had a focus and a drive and an unwavering belief in himself. And that is truly what has made him special. It's not for everyone. His robotic type answers, his almost cold way of being singularly focused comes off to some as inauthentic, but it's the way he's always been.
I'm taking one day at a time. That's what I always talk about. Just focus on that one particular day. You know, that's the only thing I can do. You know what I mean?
Right.
If I really want to be the best, every single, every little thing I do, you know, you truly have to focus on that one particular thing. And you know, right now, I'm in an interview with you guys. And so, I'm just...
focus.
Yeah, so...
And that drive comes from not only the belief in himself, but a belief that he learned from his father, who had passed away while he was at NC State, passed away right after he was actually drafted by the Colorado Rockies in 2010 in the Major League Baseball draft. And it comes from this idea that people have doubted him, right? Like I said, number 1102 in the class, 3 stars, you're too small, you're not good enough, the school that you came from isn't big enough. And I think that's what you have to understand about Russell Wilson. It's not just Tom O'Brien who doubted him. It's everybody who doubted him every step of his career. Elliot Avent has been NC State's baseball coach since 1997. He has tutored some of the best players in school history, whether it's pitcher Carlos Rodon or shortstop Trey Turner. Avent knows talent when he sees it, and when he recruited Wilson out of Richmond Collegiate, he noticed the raw talent in Wilson. But when Wilson got to NC State, he saw firsthand why Russell Wilson was going to become one of the biggest stars in the NFL.
And that's the Russell Wilson story for me. Yes, the talent's obvious, but the work ethic and the drive and the ability to commit and sacrifice to be great, not a lot of people have that to the level that he had it. And there's other people that we talk about that do special things, you know, in his profession, whether it be Peyton Manning, whether it be Tom Brady, whoever those people are that have that drive and that work ethic to be great at their profession. That's what Russell had.
The interesting thing about Russell Wilson having a chip on his shoulder and being underrated and being doubted is the people who didn't know him, you know, random rivals or back then scout.com recruiting site. Those are the people who doubted him. Maybe a major college coach who didn't watch his tape or didn't see him play in person. Those are the people who doubted him. But the people who spent time with him, like, it was obvious right away that there was something special about him. And as much as we hear about, oh, he was too short, he was this or he was that, the people who spent the most time with him actually on the athletic playing fields, they're the ones who knew how special Russell Wilson was. And it didn't take them long to figure it out. Brandon Bishop was Russell Wilson's teammate at NC State in football in 2009 and 2010. Bishop would go on to play 3 years in the NFL. Bishop knew right away, not just from what Wilson did in games, and not even what he just did in practice, but what he did before practice even started.
He used to run from the Murphy Center. So the Murphy Center is attached to Carter Finley Stadium. Our practice field, maybe a quarter mile across the parking lot, over some tailgating gravel where the indoor facility is now. Russell used to sprint from the building to the practice field on the way to practice every single day. Cleats on, helmet on. He'd run it out to practice. He had like that Kobe Bryant, Tom Brady, sort of just like maniacal focus on greatness every single day from the time I remember seeing him go to practice. And so then when he wins the job as a rookie and impresses people in Seattle right off the bat, I saw it every day. Not surprising. He's got that fire that even at the highest level amongst the most talented guys wasn't common.
Kyle Wilson played baseball at NC State in 2009 and 2010. He figured out he had more in common with Russell Wilson than the same last name. The two became friends when Kyle transferred in from a junior college. It didn't take Kyle long to realize the drive and mental focus of Russell Wilson was something different.
It didn't matter what Russell did or what he was competing at or whatever the objective was. He was going to go at it 100%, and he wasn't going to stop until he physically couldn't do it anymore. And we were doing, you know, the initial testing coming in, and we're doing sprints and seeing kind of how long we can go. And I'll never forget, man, like we were 8 in, 9 in, and Russell and I are neck and neck, you know, competing. We both could run a little bit. I'm competing, and I couldn't breathe. I couldn't stand up. My legs were shaking, and I was trying to push myself, and Russell was still, like, motivating everybody and still had, you know, a ton left in the tank. So his ability to kind of, you know, mentally push through the hard times, to look at the positive, what's ahead, and just the task at hand is second to none. And I think you're seeing that in the NFL. I can't tell you how many times I've watched him come back in the fourth quarter or have a horrible first half and be able to kind of put that stuff aside and go out and compete and end up doing a pretty damn good job.
I always thought Tom O'Brien got a bad rep. I mean, the guy was perfect for NC State after the Chuck Amato era. Somebody to reset the program, kind of get away from what had become cliche antics under Chuck Amato. I thought he had a dry sense of humor. He was always good with us on the radio when Adam Gold and I were doing the show. He was good with us at ACC kickoff. And he always let you know where he stood. I mean, he wasn't really playing any games. But again, that has to do with his background.
Yeah, Tom O'Brien went to the Naval Academy, played football there, and became a Marine captain. And when he decided what he was going to do with his career, he was hired by George Welsh at Navy. And we remember George Welsh in the ACC because he took the Virginia job in 1982. And Tom was on George Welsh's staff. And George Welsh was Tom's mentor. George Welsh was a no-nonsense guy. Tom was a no-nonsense guy. If you ask anyone who worked for George Welsh or anyone who asked for Tom, and you say, well, why do we do that? And the answer would always be, well, that's what George did.
Mm.
Well, why do we do that? That's what Tom did. And there's something to be said for that routine, Joe. There's something to be said for that discipline, that obviously the background at the military academy, that's where Tom got that from. What do we know about military? Commitment, right? And what else do we know about the military? Team. It's a team effort. And I think Tom's focus was always on the discipline, that the team commitment, and the efforts that were required to get there. And those are all things he learned in his career, first at Navy under George Welsh, and then at Virginia under George Welsh. Mike Glennon was recruited by Tom O'Brien a year after O'Brien had got to NC State and a year after Russell Wilson had been at NC State. Glennon is a classic dropback passer. You know, just a prototype of what a quarterback would look like maybe in the previous era of football, and certainly for the one that Tom O'Brien had recruited for. It's always been about Tom's relationship and thought process in recruiting Mike, and also the idea of what Tom thought of as a quarterback. That would have been Mike. So it's interesting to me to listen to Mike talk about the first time he met Tom O'Brien. And he went to the Murphy Center. He goes into O'Brien's office, and I'll let Mike explain his first impression and what he learned from Tom O'Brien and what he learned about Tom O'Brien the very first time that he met him.
He's just wearing this like casual like Ralph Lauren polo, and he just is like, "Hi, Michael," and which is the first of many Michaels, which I think I've talked about before, is no one, not my parents, no one calls me Michael. There's a few people in this world that call me Michael, and Coach O'Brien is one of them. So he was just very soft-spoken, just who he is, you know, like, but it wasn't like I was like, wow, this is the most, like, engaging, you know, charismatic guy in the world, but you could tell he had that military background. To me, you know, I didn't care for a character. You know, I always thought, wow, this would be awesome to play for a guy like Pete Carroll. You see him on College Game Day having Will Ferrell, and that just was not Coach O'Brien. But you knew, I knew that when I came in. And I guess the next impression was, so when they offered me and then I committed, he was like, well, like online people are going to start calling you, and we want to give time to tell these other quarterbacks that we're you know, you're signing with us, so we're not going to offer them. And I remember I was like, okay, well, I'll just tell them that I haven't decided yet or something. And he's like, no, that would be lying. So it was like, you know, but it was a good, like, that's who he is. You know,
right.
he's doing the right thing. You know, just all the things he stands for kind of, you know, I was kind of like, well, I was only a 17-year-old kid, but I was like, oh, okay. Like, but that's, I guess, kind of first impressions was, didn't really change, honestly. He's a very straightforward guy, doesn't say much, but no bullshit. Just
yeah.
That's who he was when I met him, and that's who he was the entire time I played for him.
Mike Archer worked with Tom O'Brien at Virginia when they were both assistants to George Welsh, and then again at NC State when Archer was the defensive coordinator and O'Brien the head coach. So Archer had an understanding of what Tom O'Brien's process was and what he had learned from George Welsh at Virginia. Remember, O'Brien had been an assistant at Navy for Welsh. The military background, the discipline background stemmed from his time with Welsh. Archer knew how O'Brien arrived at decisions, and how he was really a CEO of the program at NC State.
Tom's relationship with his players was basically consistent with everybody. He was the head coach. He made the decisions with input from us as assistant coaches, and inevitably everything was for the best for the football team. That's how he viewed things. It was no different when we were at Virginia and he was the offensive coordinator. When I came here with him, I wasn't with him at BC. But, you know, he made decisions in the best interest of the football team. And sometimes I agreed, sometimes I didn't. I had a voice. We all had voices as assistant coaches. But having sat in that chair, you're going to ask for input, but inevitably you got to make the bottom line decision and then move forward. And that's what he did. And he was very adamant about it. Very professional about it. And once a decision was made, you move forward.
This story is so old, and I've done so many radio shows since, Giglio, that I had to remind myself of a lot of things. I had to go back and read the frequently asked questions about Russell Wilson I did ahead of his first Super Bowl appearance. I had to go back and listen to some of the interviews that we did with Russell Wilson when he actually was leaving for Wisconsin. He was in our building, having done a satellite link up with ESPN where he announced he was going to be a graduate transfer at Wisconsin. We already knew he was leaving NC State. It was just a matter of where he was going to go. And Adam Gold and I were lucky enough to talk to him that day. I'll be honest, I thought you were bluffing the whole time, man. I thought you were going to stick with baseball.
You know, it wasn't an easy decision, you know, going back and forth in terms of, you know, playing a great game in baseball and, you know, and having played a great game in football before. And so, it's not an easy decision, but, you know, I definitely am truly blessed, you know, that the Rockies gave me the opportunity to come back and play football, and I'm truly excited about it.
Russell Wilson's joining us in studio today as he makes the decision to go to Wisconsin, transfer to the Badgers. About baseball, I mean, do you feel that the door has now been closed? Because baseball is a little bit different from football in terms of going through the system and hanging with a team and going through the minors. What's your feeling on the possibility of going back to baseball sometime in the future?
The door hasn't been closed at all by any means. The Rockies have really been understanding. We've had, you know, multiple open conversations, and it's a good thing. It's a blessing. They're glad that I'm in their organization, and I'm truly excited that I'm in their organization. And it's a great relationship there, and so I'm excited about that.
Why do you think you're not going to be at NC State?
You know, I don't really know, you know, in terms of that. I mean, I think more than anything, Coach O'Brien, you know, wanted to make a decision in terms of what he thought was best for NC State. And I wanted to go back to NC State. That's where I wanted to play initially. I never dreamed of transferring from NC State. NC State's, you know, the school that I absolutely love. You know, I loved playing for NC State. I loved playing the Carolina games. I loved the tradition of the Wolfpack Howl and all that kind of stuff. So all that stuff is truly dear to my heart. And you know, also the players that I played with, and the guys that truly meant a lot to me, and the guys that I came in with, the guys that left before I was done, the guys that were there before I was ever there. You know, guys like Torrey Holt and guys like Mario Williams. Guys like Phillip Rivers, obviously. You know, I looked up to those guys. So, you know, I think that's truly something special to my heart and will always be, you know, special to my heart. And it's just, it's not the best situation in terms of that, you know, but, you know, life moves on, and I'm truly blessed to be in the situation I am right now. And the Lord always has a plan for me and always has a plan, for my life. And I think that, you know, he's worked it out and slowly working it out right now.
I also think you have to try to remember that Tom O'Brien could be terse.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was a topic he didn't feel like he wanted to explain, he was not going to do that. Going back and doing this project, the thing you find out is the point in 2011 when the different people found out.
Yeah.
Mike Glennon found out in January that he was going to be the quarterback.
Okay.
Russell Wilson didn't find out until that phone call in April that he was not coming back.
Except that Tom O'Brien was calling his shot throughout.
He was.
For instance.
But it was almost like Russell didn't believe him up until that phone call.
Yeah, we talked to Tom O'Brien back in February. We knew this was on signing day.
Yeah.
We knew what he was going to do by talking about Mike Glennon. Here's the exchange back on signing day.
You know, if Russell comes back, you know, that's fine. But, you know, Michael Glennon is going to be the quarterback. I don't see any way it's not going to play that way if we're going to have a chance to be a good football team next year.
If Russell comes back, what's the procedure then?
Well, he'll be the backup. I mean, you know, he can sit there and fight for the job, but I don't see any way forward, and I'm not wasting any time thinking about him coming back. I mean, you know, I can't do that. You know, we're going to go ahead and get Michael Glennon ready to play, and he will be the starting quarterback against whoever we open up with next year.
Do you think Russell can be an NFL quarterback?
I don't think the NFL thinks so, and that's the only important thing. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter what you or I think. I mean, it's what the NFL thinks. And I think that there was no real commitment one way or another from the NFL towards him of being a quarterback. And that, I think, all factored into the decision-making process, too.
Then we talked to Tom O'Brien ahead of the spring game in mid-April before that announcement on April 30th.
Right, and Russell was not at spring. He was at spring training with the Colorado Rockies.
So we kind of joked with him. I mean, do you break glass in case of emergency if Russell Wilson shows up for spring? Tom O'Brien wasn't having it.
This will be the first spring game in a while where we don't anticipate that Mike Glennon is holding the fort until Russell Wilson returns. Tom O'Brien joins us on the Allen Kelly and Company train hotline. That is true, correct?
Absolutely.
All right.
So there's no, like, you don't have, like, a break in case of emergency behind glass playbook with Russell Wilson stuff ready to go just in case?
Well, as long as Michael Glennon doesn't break,
okay,
we're in good shape.
But I was looking at a roster earlier.
Uh-huh.
I think I still saw Russell on the roster.
I don't know about that. I don't do anything with the roster. I know what my roster is, and right now I know he's on the Colorado Rocky roster. And
okay,
as I told him, take two and hit to right.
Then you can fast forward to July. Gold and I go to ACC kickoff like we typically do. It's this big ACC media event to get people hyped up for the upcoming football season. At this point, Russell Wilson's already at Wisconsin. Mike Glennon is the guy. There are no questions left. Well, I take that back. There are plenty of questions about Russell Wilson, and it even affects the way that you ask questions about Mike Glennon, because he's going to be quarterbacking NC State while Russell Wilson's at Wisconsin. Man, I can mess with you.
Russell's still playing in Wisconsin.
Right.
ESPN's been hyping him all summer. They're going to show a bunch of his games. I can't think of a quarterback that has had to deal. I mean, it's one thing to follow up like Phillip Rivers.
Right.
Now you're following up a guy who's still playing. How is he going to deal with that?
I don't know. I mean, you know, we'll talk to him. He can't be concerned with what's going on anywhere else. I mean, we have to be concerned with who and what we are in this football team that we're coaching right now. And all of us have to be concerned with that. It's the same thing. You can't control anything outside of what takes place off of our campus or off our practice field or off our game field. You know, we have to take care of what we can control. And we're controlling what we can control.
And we can control how many questions we ask about Russell Wilson. I'm guessing you've heard his name a few times today.
Well, I think, you know, on the golf course, we had an over-under. We're kind of way over.
I would imagine whatever the number was,
we're way over. Yeah.
So this idea that people found out when they found out, I'm not dismissing that, but Tom O'Brien was pretty clear what was going to happen throughout those months.
Yeah, again, the commitment and a being about the team. Throughout Russell's college career, he had gone and played baseball in the spring. And Tom, after that 2010 season, said to him, I'm not doing this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Either you're here or you're not here. It wasn't so simple as one decision, rather a series of decisions that led to that point.
Do you think NC State did Russell Wilson wrong?
I don't know if I can't say that they did him wrong. I don't know how I want to phrase this. They may have done him wrong, but he didn't do him any favors in the way he handled it either. Like, he's not completely innocent here in whatever the decision made. I mean, he played a role, and there's reasons why he did. I mean, he wasn't fully committed to them before they were not committed to him, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, and O'Brien was in a tough spot. And, like, I'm not trying to hype myself. Okay, I'm obviously not the player Russell is. He's a future Hall of Famer, Super Bowl winning, MVP caliber player. I am a upper echelon backup quarterback in the NFL. An upper echelon backup quarterback in the NFL would probably be the best quarterback in a lot of team schools history. And Russell's career record at NC State was like one game over 500. My record was, I want to say, like two games over 500. Like, it's not like we were winning ACC championships, national championships with Russell. Like,
right.
He went 5-7 one year or whatever you said. You know, like, we didn't even go to a bowl game one year with him. So I don't know why. I get why NC State's, you know, are so upset about it and love Russell. But it wasn't like he was lighting, like we were winning. He was playing well, but it wasn't like we were winning all these ball games with him.
Let the record note,
in 3 years with Russell Wilson as the starter, NC State's record was 19-17. In 2 years with Mike Glennon as the starter, the Wolfpack went 15-11. And to Mike Glennon's larger point, Russell Wilson's exit was a process, not just a one-off decision by Tom O'Brien. Part of that process actually started with how Wilson got to NC State and the fact that he wasn't recruited by Tom O'Brien. He was recruited by a different NC State coach. We'll talk to that coach and to the coach primarily responsible for Russell Wilson ever wearing red and white, all in episode 2.